This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
But how did David do it? He must have done it by stealth. By deceit. Because he deceived his general and got the leader of the sheep killed on the battlefront. Then he took the sheep. Right? That's the political order, stealing the sheep from the church order, from the ecclesiastical order. The political order, stealing the congregation or the following of the ecclesiastical order. That's what this is a sign of in your Bible. Through David, it's given it to us. That the political order, the government, steals the following of the ecclesiastical order by killing off their leaders, bringing them into difficult contests that will embarrass them. They can't stand up in it. They get destroyed. And then the government gets those people over to themselves. Isn't that how they got a lot of you all that work on the ground for them right now? Yeah, Allah. If Allah showed me one thing, you know he's going to show me another. You think Allah will show me all of this about Quran and about the Bible and about Elijah Muhammad and about the Quran and about ancient mythology and wouldn't show me what this little thing you're doing here today? Yeah. And you only see the tail of it. All right. So, dear beloved people, Abraham is that one. So our order is the order after the order of Abraham. What is the word millah? Millah. What does millah suggest? Millah suggests a combining of two concerns. Spiritual and material are combined in one. They become reconciled in one concern. So Abraham was a prophet who reconciled the material world with the spiritual world. He reconciled the material concerns with the spiritual concerns. Now, wasn't this the goal of most of the prophets? The major prophets? That's why Abraham is named as the one. God said, I will bless through Abraham, I will give you this blessing. But they were after it all the time, weren't they? Yeah, they were after it. But God said, through Abraham will I give you this blessing. And God said of Abraham, he said, I make you father of the people, the nations. Not one nation. Father of the nations. He is the plural. Semitic language, that's the plural. He was called at first Abram. And then his name was changed from Abram. He was called Abram, father of one community. Father of the sheepish community. And his name, because he sacrificed the sheep, he was then, his name was changed to Abraham, father of all the nations, all the communities. And then God chose Muhammad, peace be upon him, for his last and universal revelation. And he told him that the community is established on the order of the community of Abraham. It is an international community. A community of all people and all nations. Oh, yes. So here we find the blessing of Abraham passing on. But it was a destiny that people sought. They wanted to reconcile worldly life. They wanted to reconcile material concerns with spiritual concerns. We have in us a spiritual nature, a spiritual soul, a spiritual concern. And we have to learn the place of the external reality in that concern. And man, in trying to find that, he rejects it in ignorance. In ignorance, he rejects it. It's too difficult to carry this material burden along. He says the highest discipline of the soul is to live without it. To live without a woman, sex, to live without children, to live without money, to live without business, to live without participation in government. So he intends right, but he goes off. So that's why Allah says in the Quran that Adam slipped. And the word that is used is similar to an earthquake. What causes an earthquake? Imbalance. The pressure is either out of balance or the crust is out of balance. And then you have an earthquake. Yes. So it says that he slipped. He didn't intend it. But his balance went off. His balance went off. You see? Praise be to Allah. Now, so if this is the order, if this is disorder, then that tells us that in our community, we can't be separated. Business mind, spiritual mind. We're a material mind, spiritual mind. We can't be separated like that. Community goals, spiritual goals. We can't be separated like that. No, this is one life. It's all one life. And Allah has reconciled it through Prophet Abraham and have applied it or demonstrated it through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In his day and time, these things were separate. Prophet Muhammad was the chief over the material distribution. He was the chief over government processes. He was the chief over spiritual processes. The chief over morals and ethics. The chief over academics and higher learning. He was the chief over all these things. He was the complete prophet who reconciled the life, brought man in consonance with his purpose. With his full capacity. So, are you operating at full capacity? If you belong to the sheepish order, you're not operating at full capacity. And you fraternities and you sororities, you belong to the sheepish order. You are trained not to upset the boat. You are trained not to rock the boat. You are trained to do what the establishment wants. And your reward for obedience not to God, your reward for obedience to the needs of the establishment is your assurance that you will progress up through the establishment. So they say, join a sorority, join a fraternity, so you will have assurance that you will progress right up through the establishment. You have been free to join these sororities and these fraternities now for over 50 years. And look at the situation of the African-American today. What are you sororities and fraternities doing to change this condition of your people, economically speaking, governmentally speaking? What are you doing to give more power to your people and government? What are you doing to bring the poor up from poverty? Huh? What are you in a secret fraternity for? You're nothing but a hide slave plantation keeper. That's all you are. You're nothing but a hide keeper. You're one of their keepers for the plantation. To see that other people of your own lot don't get ahead. You're the special ones to watch their back when they ain't around. They train your eyes so you can watch their back, their hidden interests, when they ain't around. And if you don't like this, you should be shot in the head because you ain't fit to live. You ain't fit to live belonging to some secret fraternity. You ought to be ashamed of yourself paying them money, letting them break down your resistance. They break down your intelligent discipline. They ain't satisfied until they break you down. Then they tell you now you're ready to join up. If you got any moral inhibitions, they will break down your moral inhibitions. If your reasoning process is too natural, they will break down your reasoning process. They ain't satisfied with you until you accept this to be a broken vessel for them to put together for their purpose. Don't you know that's the only thing that keeps us down? Let me tell you what keeps us down. It's not nature. Nature will get us up. It's these trained people among us who watch the interests of the oppressor and sabotage efforts made by the people to dignify themselves. Throw confusion into the plan of the people who want to lift themselves up. Get themselves in key positions to sabotage operations. To retard operations. To program operations for self-destruction. Get yourself in positions to do that. For who? Your master. And you feel indebted to them because they paid your way through school. They promised you a position and fulfilled their promise. But have they given you the most precious promise? Have they given you freedom? Do you have a free conscience? Do your people have freedom to move up the ladder of progress? And Allah says in the Quran, and the devil promised you, and God promised you. And the devil is always one to break his promise. It's time we wake up. Time we wake up. And the only way we're going to be successful is to break every allegiance. Break every allegiance that deny us a free mind. And at ease heart. Break every allegiance that deny us a free mind and an at ease heart. Then we will be successful. Then we will be successful. For us who call ourselves Muslims, what is the answer? Allah says, and your death and your resurrection is as the death and resurrection of one person. Nafsan wahida. You die because one wicked individual has the courage to go counter the divine scheme of this universe. And you get back on the track, or you come back to life because of one person having the courage to go counter Satan's scheme. So he says your death and resurrection is as the death and resurrection of one person. One person. How is that again told in the scripture? In the gospel, it says, lift me up and I will draw all men up unto me. They don't understand what they're talking about. How is it demonstrated in the community of Islam under our leader Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him? He called his men together to make it a pledge of allegiance. And he told them to join their hands. And he placed their hands above. He placed his hand above theirs. Meaning that my rule is above yours. And Muslims who have followed that tradition, they still do it. If they have one, then one person come up. He put his hand, the leader puts his hand over his hand. And that makes the bond. If there are many people, they join hands. The leader puts his hand over all their hands. That joins the bond. Not that the leader is the prophet. He's carrying out the obligation. What does Allah say in the Quran? Of this, he says, and when they placed their hands and your hand was above them, says Allah's hand, God's hand, was above yours. So the prophet's hand is above the people's hand, and Allah's hand, meaning his authority, his authority is above the prophet. But how is his authority carried out? Through the prophet, a human mortal just like us. Now, dear beloved people, if we are Muslims, tell me, where is your authority if you make me your imam? Your authority is under my hand. Oh, you don't belong to this order. If you belong to this order, you join me, you say you belong to the American Muslim League. Some of you say, well, I didn't join you, I joined this community. Well, you're a crazy man. You're just a crazy person. The community has made their decision. The community decision is that I'm their leader. Now, how you going to join them without joining their decision? If you join them, you have to join their decision. And if you join their decision, then your authority is under my authority. You know our enemies don't want this among blacks? This is the last thing they want among blacks. They don't want blacks to be obedient to another one. Unless he's a criminal. If he's a criminal, they don't mind it because they can easily come against criminals and squash them out overnight. See, the law is established against criminals. But ain't no law established against what I preach. President Madison says that this country has to recognize Islam as it recognized Judaism and Christianity. And ever since President Madison, the government has upheld that right, that the legitimate religions has to have freedom of religion in this country. So they can't deny me my leadership, so they have to work subtly, deviously, deceitfully. They have to work that way through you to get you prejudiced against me. And many times they can't come directly at me, so they will make you prejudiced against any authority over you. They have to prejudice your mind against any authority over you. And then they are clever enough to take that kind of mind many times and make it accept a criminal over them. See how subtle the devil's traps are? Too much for the average one of us. If we don't have God guidance, we're finished. We need Allah's protection. Without Allah's protection, we are finished. So I offer someone to come and stand by me. I offer them a position by my side. I said, I want you to go and check on this interest. He told me, he said, I'll look out for the community's interest. That told me that he was not a man to stand by my side. Anytime you tell me you won't accept my orders in that spirit, that you have to accept it in the spirit that you're looking out after the community's interest, you're telling me that you don't recognize my authority over you, that you're equal with me. If you can look out after community, you do it. Now, if I'm going to work with you, I'm independent to look out after community as I see fit. So that's that same Indians with no chief that the white man has bred into his free slaves and their descendants, where they resent authority in another one of their own kind. And no, you ain't telling me what to do. I'm just looking out for the community. Sounds nice, but it's very poison, very poisonous. You're just looking out for the community. If the president called me to the White House and say, hey, man, Raisa Deen Muhammad, because of your stature, your credibility, we want you to go on a mission overseas. And if it was something that I could accept, and I did that, could I tell the president of these United States, well, I'm going for the sake of the United States of America? See, I say, yeah, I accept it, but I'll be looking out for the interests of the United States of America. The president would tell me, he said, who the hell you think I am? Don't you know I'm the one that America has chosen to look out for the interests of these United States? And you got the nerve to tell me in my face after I offer you this dignified position that you are going to assume my kind of power and responsibility? Say, well, you a one man, we're going to kill. We're going to say you died of a sneezing or something. Say you hiccuped and you didn't come back. You caught the hiccups and didn't come back. Yeah. Because I would be a stone fool, wouldn't I? Now, here I am offering a man a position by my side. I did this recently, within the last 3 or 4 days, because he had shown a change of heart. So I offered him a position by my side. to work right directly with me. Nobody giving orders directly with me. He tells me I'll look after the... You know I'm going to look out after the community then. And with that kind of attitude, you know I'm going to look out after the community then. In other words, not yours. I will never tell you his name. I'll just tell you his mind. That's good enough. So we don't want that mind to pop up again. The greatest obstacle we have in the way is that sensitivity in us that won't allow us to accept another one like us to tell us what to do. Somebody gonna tell us what to do. You can't live in this world without somebody telling you what to do. Let us try to understand Islamic democracy. If you learn what Islamic democracy is, and we had an aspect of Islamic democracy in the beginning of this talk, where I quoted Maulana Maldoodi, where saying, in the long run, by and large, I'm not using the exact words, these are my words, but by and large, the guarantee of a Muslim society that it will remain law-abiding, that it will remain law-abiding, that it will respect Islamic principles, moral principles, does not rest upon the external forces. The forces of government and et cetera are people executing authority. It rests upon what? The content of the individual's heart. That has to be in the individual's heart. And Allah has not given the human being a nature that can be ruled over by another human being without individual consent. There must be individual consent. Even with Allah's law. Allah himself, Almighty God, won't impose his laws, though he know they're the best for you. He know they were designed perfectly for you. But he won't impose those laws on you without your individual consent. So that's what it's telling us, and Scripture tells us that. I'm hurrying because I don't want to prolong the time. Scripture tells us that the trouble was that the people couldn't get the society to be at peace so it could prosper. So the Scripture came saying there's coming a time when God is going to write his word on their heart. It's going to do away with that dependence on force, enforcement of the law. God is going to educate the people, and he's going to educate them so they can see the value of these principles, and they're going to love them. The more we understand a thing, and the more we see that it's made for us, and that it works well for us, the more we are endeared to that thing. So we begin to love it more, don't we? And those Muslims who were educated under Prophet Muhammad, they're told in the Quran to support this. Support it with more enthusiasm than you gave the age of ignorance, than you gave your leaders under polytheism. Support it with more enthusiasm than you had before this conversion. And that's what I tell you. I told you other week that you have to support this with more enthusiasm than you gave to Honorable Elijah Muhammad. With more enthusiasm than you gave to Farad, W.D. Farad, or W.F. Muhammad. With more enthusiasm. You have to support this with more enthusiasm than you gave white bosses. If this is right, if this is the right, if this is better than what was before, then shouldn't you support this with more enthusiasm? That's no more than good sense. That's no more than good sense. Allah asked it of the prophets before, and it is an example to us that the leader must ask this of the people. And no one under me, as long as I live, with my knowledge, is going to impose upon you without your consent. If you don't like this, you can get out of it. If you don't want to donate, you don't have to. If you don't want to give us a greeting, you don't have to. But there's a minimum that you have to do if you expect to continue to come around here and call yourself one of us. Oh, yes. We have to enforce that. That's why in Islam, we have sanctions that we must enforce. There are sanctions that we must enforce. But we are not depending solely upon those sanctions. Where is our faith more than it is in those sanctions? It is in the state of your heart. That's where our trust is. That's where our faith is. We know that long as the condition of the believer's heart is good, he will love these sanctions. He will support these sanctions. And no matter how much effort we put forth to enforce the sanctions, to enforce the principles or laws of Islam, if the content of the human heart has gone bad, if the individual has lost the Muslim content of his heart, we are finished. We are finished. That's why the learned Maulana Maududi says, ultimately, enforcement does not rest in the sanction or in the law. Isn't this in agreement with the New Testament? In the law, but in the content of the human heart. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So let us understand this. And I hope that this has helped us in some way today. So I conclude this talk on the need to cultivate the human potential, to free it so it can go to its destiny that Allah chose for it. And anyone who's living, cheating himself on a level beneath his human capacity, he should think seriously about it and begin to do something in his or her life to bring that capacity up so that it reflects and complements what Allah has made you. And Allah has made you, as he says in the Quran, a most dignified creature. He has made you honorable. He has created your forms and made them beautiful and most excellent. So we thank Allah and we ask him to keep our faith firm and protect our hearts from deviating, keep our intent pure, keep us in the faith, and not let us go back to the ways of confusion and mistake and immorality.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.